good singing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And can I call on Sister Pam Goss? Would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Page 26. 26. Take a moment and live. Here we go. You know, it's so good to be here this morning, and I shared earlier this morning, you can just feel the Holy Spirit when you come in.
Yes.
And just to feel His presence of the Lord. And, you know, again, I mentioned Brother Royce. Vanessa and I get here. I think if we was to pull up at 6 o'clock in the morning, Brother Royce is sitting out here. He's ready to come in. He's ready to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to get Vanessa to come up. But look at page 219. Look at page 219. Not in this book. Look in your celebration hymn. Surely the presence of the Lord is here. Let's sing that song.
Vanessa's going to sing the verses of it. And we'll just back her up and sing the chorus. Page 513.
for saving my soul. Does anybody have a word, a testimony you'd like to share?
Yes, my God.
My God, this morning. And again, it's so good to be here this morning. And again, you know, I mentioned the Spirit. You can just feel the Spirit. You just feel it when you walk in the doors here. And it's all because of you. All because of you. Because, you know, the Holy Spirit is here, but we, you know, we got to invite Him to be here. And if we don't invite Him, He's not going to be here with us. So it's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. But if you had a word of testimony you'd like to share, by all means do.
Please, my God, church.
Talk about God, people bring God up. She said, "It's happening a lot more now." I said, "Well, Carol, there's a reason. There's a reason why you're up here. There's a reason why you've been brought up here to, you know, me and Jason. And I feel like that's God's job and caution here. Because I know that that's what's happened to me."
That's what I'm saying.
Just want to thank you.
Amen. God bless you.
That's a system very. Well, let's look, look to page 762. 762. This is a request. On a day that will be. Made it by grace. Would that be okay, sister? Made it by grace. Vanessa and Royce and Pam, y'all come up.
A lot of people's left this world in the last few days. I've been in 4 funeral services this week. And sometimes we don't know how we made it. Don't know how we're going to make it. We stop and think about it. It's because of the grace of God.
Yes, ma'am.
And Kathy, this is, Wayne said, this is for you. We tried to sing it once before, and we're trying to learn it. And I don't think Sister Pam will kick her shoes off, but she might. I'll pray for her.
She might.
Share before we yes, sister.
We were happy, we were low, but it never
sister.
Amen. Amen. It's your time.
I'd like to say, there wasn't a time long ago where, you know, I'd sit around and say, well, I figure out how I'm going to do this, or how I'm going to make this, or, you know, how I'm going to fix this. And I would, I'd go crazy trying to figure out. I still didn't get nowhere, just spin my tires, you know what I mean? And, man, I'll tell you right now, when I stopped fighting God and started going with him, man, I'll tell you right now, he makes a way. He don't ever put too much on us that we cannot bear. And if there is too much on us that we can't bear, he's going to take that load. And man, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people, you know, that I've witnessed lately that have asked questions, you know, about God. You know what I'm saying? Wanted to read the Bible. Wanted to watch Christian shows, you know, that I never knew they would. I never thought they would. I wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? But now, I want to. I can't get enough of it. And I love everybody. You know, God has got us, man. He does. Ladies and gentlemen,
I believe you
right now. He's got us because, I mean, I'm still a work in progress. I am not
sure you are.
We all are.
Everyone. I tell you one thing, I'm sure two things for certain. That man has got our backs, and he is not going to leave us stranded or alone. He will not do that. And you need him, you just speak out. And don't matter how you talk to him. I talk to everybody the same way, you know, and I talk to him the same way. Just ask him. I'll give it to you. Yeah, we're
going to
help you. That's all I
want to
say. God, thank you. I love you, and I appreciate you.
Amen. God bless you.
I love the spirit that's flowing through my soul this morning.
Yes. Amen. We serve such an awesome God. We serve such an awesome God. Let's just sing it. Look at page 179, I think, in your church. Our God is an awesome God. We serve such a wonderful, great God. You can't sing that and sit down. Let's all stand up and sing that.
They call it standing up in a way of rest.
Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for this day you've given us, Heavenly Father, to be in your house. And thank you so much, Heavenly Father, how you love us, and Heavenly Father, how you take care of us, Heavenly Father. And again, we thank you for your wonderful and precious grace. And Heavenly Father, we sang about that today, and I thank you so much for that. Heavenly Father, I ask you, dear Lord, to be with Brother Steve as he comes and bring our message today. Heavenly Father, I just ask you, Lord, again to push Steve aside. Fill him your Holy Spirit and give him the message, Heavenly Father, that we need, that I need. And Heavenly Father, thank you again for your love and what you show us each and every day. These things I pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Thought about what Belinda said in her testimony. It's amazing that you can have a heavy heart and be filled with the joy of the Lord all at the same time. That just amazes me. And I believe we're all have a heavy heart for Brother Bo and Sister Linda and Sister Mel and all their family. We do. And but God never ceases to amaze me. I thought about the text I got from Linda the other day, and one text would say, not opening his eyes, not responding, barely responding to pain. And then the next text came, and it said, he's opened his eyes, I can see his pretty blue eyes, I believe is what she said. He's somewhat responsive. And boy, I needed that morning. I'm going to tell you, I just needed to hear that. And the Lord works in mysterious ways. And I realize, we all realize that we're going to all leave this walks of life some way, somehow. But I'm glad that the Lord's given us Brother Bo for the time he's given to us. Glad of that. Glad of that. God's not through with him. Amen. Amen. Boy, I love each one of you, and I've just been filled with the Spirit this morning. I thought about when Brother Dustin got up and testified. I thought, man, I'm right with you, brother. I can feel that too. I can feel that too. And blessed beyond measure is the only way I know how to put it. Because you can't weigh it, you can't measure it. All you can do is try to tell others about it, and I can't do it justice telling folks how good he is to me. And it's not because everything in my life is going perfect. It's certainly not. Yesterday I had trials, and there'll be trials today.
Bless you, Lord.
And if your tarriage is coming, there'll be trials tomorrow.
Help us, Lord.
But right now I want to enjoy the presence of the Lord. I really do. I really do. It's good to see Sister Jeanette here with us today, and got to visit with her the other day, and we had a good visit, and I appreciate the way her light shines for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And don't have to ask her if she's a Christian. She lets you know that just by her actions. Amen. Pray for Glenn and Chris Puckett. They're traveling, and they're going to be gone, I think, through next week. So just pray for them while they're traveling. But if you'll turn in your Bibles to Philippians, the first chapter, I'd like to read to us here some verses of Scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote down here as he's in this letter to the church at Philippi, and probably preached on this before, but this is where the Lord is leading us to go. So I need you to pray for us for just a few minutes. In the first chapter of Philippians, beginning with the first verse, it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servant Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. These were just like the false prophets that we read about. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And I'd like to take your mind and your eyes back to this 23rd verse. Paul said, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And God being our helper, just for a few minutes, I'd like to preach on the thought, torn between two blessings. And I want you to think about that, how just for a few minutes. You may not like that thought, because Paul's comparing himself to being in bondage, being in prison, as compared to leaving this world and being with Christ. And somebody might say, well, that's a no-brainer. And it is. Paul realized that going on to be with the Lord was far greater. But he also realized that God wasn't through with him yet. And somehow or another, Paul takes this bondage that he's in and this imprisonment, and he gets this news back from the church at Philippi and I don't know how he got the news back, but somebody come back and told him, said the church over at Philippi is prospering, and these folks are worshiping Jesus over there. And so somehow or another, Paul was caught in the middle between two blessings, if you want to look at it that way. And I'm sure that if Paul had his rather's why, he said it himself, that he would rather go on to be with Christ, which was far better. But I'm glad today. Now, Paul could have committed suicide. A lot of folks do that today. But I'm going to tell you something. Paul loved the Lord. And his life was God's to take and God's to use. Amen. And I feel like we ought to look at our own lives the same way today. So we begin to think about how torn between two blessings here. And we go back and we look and we see that Paul was encouraged by the news that he got from the church at Philippi. And I want you to understand how that not all the churches that Paul had a hand in setting up, how did he get good news back from? Amen. I wished it had been, and Paul wished it had been, that every church that he helped set up, that he would get news back in prison in Rome, that all of them was on the mountaintop, that all of them were reaching the lost, that all of them were sticking with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. But that wasn't so. He had to go back and write letters to some of these churches, correcting them and encouraging them to get back on the straight and narrow path and to get back according to doctrine. But the church in Philippi over here, amen, to Paul, he didn't have it easy over there in Philippi. There was a lot of things going on physically against him. But there was a church established over there that loved the Lord. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, this had to be encouraging even to a man that was in prison. Now, Paul didn't know. A lot of times we think that these Bible people that even the Apostle Paul, sometimes we think that they had this superior knowing of what was going to happen and go on. But I want you to understand they're human just like you and I are today, Sister Sarah. He didn't know exactly what was going to take place. He didn't know if maybe they might just regret putting him in prison and just let him go on and go back to preaching the gospel and going around from city to city. Or he didn't know whether he was fixing to be put to death at this time. But he just looked at it as, I'm just torn between two blessings. Boy, I love that song. Sister Diane Smith played the piano over at Roswell Creek. And I know she does. She sang it at least twice a month, maybe three times a month. But she'd say, whether I go or whether I stay, I'm a winner either way. And boy, she'd get to singing that, the tears would start falling, Brother Roger, out of her eyes. And then when she'd start squalling, I'd start squalling. And the church would go to squalling. I'm going to tell you something today. We spend a lot of time trying to fix things in this life. Amen. And worrying about the things we can't fix. But I'm going to tell you something today. We're just in between two blessings. Amen. Whether we go or whether we stay, we're winners with God today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That ought to put us on shouting ground even when we're down in the valley. Amen. Paul had every reason, carnally speaking, Brother Bobby, to be discouraged. Amen. Paul was worried. I'll tell you something he was worried about. He was worried that those that had got saved under his preaching over at Philippi, he was worried that them seeing him in the bondage that he was in, he was worried that they might turn away from the doctrine because they were afraid they might get in the same place he was. And that had to run through their mind. If standing firm and preaching Jesus Christ is going to get me where Paul is, I don't know if I want to touch this with a 10-foot pole. But praise God to Paul's enthusiasm and to Paul's good news that he got back. These people took that bondage that he was in, and they let that just strengthen them, and they preached it the more boldly. Amen. Instead of walking around with a tail tucked hiding under the porch, amen, they preached it strong. Amen.
Amen.
So you see, Paul glorified God, whether he was out in the streets, whether he was out setting up churches, or whether he was in prison, he was still glorifying God. Amen. Boy, that thrills me today. Do you think maybe that those folks that put him in prison over there in Rome, the enemies of the cross, that's what he called them, enemies of the cross, do you think maybe that his persistence in the gospel and his persistence in his faith in Jesus Christ, do you think just maybe that had an influence on those that threw him in prison? Do you think maybe sometimes that they thought to themselves and they thought all this character would have to do is quit talking about this man Jesus, and we let him go? We wouldn't have to feed him, we wouldn't have to put up with him, and he could go. But Paul took this opportunity. Oh, he could have said, Lord, after all that I've done to try to glorify you, to try to lift you up, why am I in these bonds? He could have said that. But Paul was so close to the Lord. He was so close to Jesus that wherever he was at, he knew how to be abased. He knew how to be exalted. He knew how to suffer, and he knew how to rejoice. Wouldn't that do us all good today if we could learn that? Some people, when they're on the mountaintop, they're very, very happy. But you catch them down in the valley. I've had people that have called me, and boy, they've just been happy, and on the mountaintop they'd call, you know, and talk. And I'd call them maybe a few days later. Hey, what's going on? What's the matter? You know, like they lost their last friend. And I said, their joy or their happiness is determined by the presence of what's going on around them. They're having a bad day. And they're going to let me know they're having a bad day. The other day they're having a good day. They're happy when they go. Lord, help us to be on the same plane. Help us to be on the same plane. Whether we're down or whether we're up. Man, I like to be up. I do. I feel kind of up right now. But Brother John Cantrell, I know that the ups are only temporary. And I know there'll be a valley coming. But I want to look at it as being caught in two blessings. Paul said, I'm in a strait. I don't know what. But he's blessed. Either way. Boy, I'm going to tell you. Let me read to you here. I thought about this, that his sufferings were made manifest to those that were looking at him. It had to have caused the enemies of the cross, the non-Christians, it had to have caused them to think, what could this man have? Pilate was amazed when Jesus came before him and he asked him questions and Jesus would not answer. that amazed Pontius Pilate. Because in Pilate's mind, if this man would just answer, if he would just answer, maybe we could find grounds to let him go. But he wouldn't. He wouldn't. You see, he was in the center of God's will. He was doing everything that God sent him to do. Maybe Paul felt like that because before he got saved, that he was a terror to the church. He was a terror to Christians. Maybe he thought that since he got saved and went to preaching the gospel, that what he did, well, he said one time when he referred to Christians, I believe he said, in whom I am chief. Maybe he thought that because of his past, that was the reason he was being thrown into prison, threatened. But I believe the Lord showed him that when you do the Lord's work, when you stand for God, boy, haven't we got it good today? Haven't we got it good?
Amen.
Paul got in prison for preaching the gospel. I've been trying to preach it since 2000. And I ain't spent a day in jail. Now I realize it might come. Hope not.
But I thought, Brother Ricky, how good I got it. How good we've got it today. How good we've got it.
So Paul encouraged this church at Philippi. Don't get discouraged about me being in prison. Amen. And I'm encouraged to hear that y'all are still encouraged. That's what he was saying to the church. Stand firm. This is for God's glorification. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said in the 13th and 14th verse, he said, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You don't think folks have an influence in your life today? When I was a young Christian, I'd hear old sainted ladies get up and testify about what God had done for them. And I'm not talking about just get up and talk. I'm talking about get up with power from the Lord. And these same little old sainted ladies didn't have the best that life could offer. In fact, a lot of them we would consider to be kind of needy. But they'd get up and they'd testify about what God had done for them. And as a young Christian, I would think to myself, boy, this God really must be something if he can fill them up like that with what they're going through. So this church at Philippi had to have looked at Paul and looked at him in his bondage over there and thought, if he can be this excited about who he preached to us about, then surely we can pick up the sword and go with it. Amen? We can look at the cup half empty, or we can look at it half full. When I know that I'm moving up closer to the Lord, it's when I'm faced with problems and trials and tribulations in life, and yet I feel the presence of the Lord. So I want to encourage you today. You may think, my mom used to say, the last few years of her life, she would say, I don't know why the Lord won't take me on. She's ready to go. See, she felt like since she couldn't get up and walk around and do things that she used to do, she felt like that she was useless anymore. She said, I never wanted my kids to have to take care of me. But it came down to that. And I said, Mama, the Lord's not through with you yet. See, you're a blessing to us. Amen? And the Lord's not through with you yet. She didn't know it, but she was just torn between two blessings. She didn't know it, but she was. She was. You see, it's just natural for a Christian when things are really going south in our lives to want to go on with the Lord. And I'm glad we have that desire. I'm glad we do. Elijah, I can't help but believe when he got tired of fighting everything that a prophet has to fight, he got tired of the race. He got tired of the course. Got tired of Jezebel, Ahab. He wasn't just sitting under that juniper tree to find some shade. He was ready to die. Wasn't he? He was ready to die. He knew. He knew he had another place to go. But I'm glad God didn't take him out right then. He still had some work to do. Angel of the Lord come and let him know. And he did. I'm fixing to wind her down, but I want to ask you a question today. Are you wrestling with something that's keeping you from really shining your Christian light today? Has the devil got you in a fix today to where you can't glorify God the way that God wants you to glorify him? Brother Kenneth Putman told me one time, he said, preacher, if you're not enjoying preaching, the congregation's certainly not. He told me that. But I thought I announced my call.
I'm always enjoying it.
But I'm to the point now,
Chris, God bless you, Lord,
where I'm just about enjoying what anybody else does or not. I really do. I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to get something out of it. But sometimes, Roger, I don't want to say I don't care, because I do care. I care. But sometimes it's just glorifying him.
Amen.
Soothes my soul. Soothes my soul. Let me read you a verse, and we're going to hush up. Be getting us a song ready. You think maybe that these folks, when they saw Paul and they were still enthused about the Lord and they were preaching the gospel, because he wrote this to the saints that were in Philippi. He said also to the bishops and deacons. So he wrote it to the church. Do you think maybe sometimes that they thought, well, if this is the worst it can be, if being in the bondage that Paul's in, if that's the worst it can be, then we got the same made. We got it made. Amen. I couldn't stop without reading this verse right here. And you be praying, and if you need to move, we want you to move. Paul tells Timothy to endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and to make full proof of the ministry.
Yeah.
What he tells him. Now this goes for each and every one of us today. To endure the afflictions. Paul knew that young Timothy was going to have to endure some afflictions. He knew that. When I was ordained and I knelt down there at the altar, and those men came around and put their hand on the back of my neck and my head, and they would all try to give me words of encouragement. But some of the older ones, some of them that had been in it for a long time, they had trouble getting down on their knees, even getting down there to me. But they'd get down there and they'd say, "Brother, it ain't gonna be a bed of roses. There's gonna be some times when the church don't even feel like being there. There's gonna be some times when you study and you feel like you're really preaching what God wants you to preach. And there's gonna be some times that they'll look at you like a mutilated bride." He wasn't being ugly. He was just being truthful. He said, "But you just get you a helping of grace. Remember what God called you into." He said, "Because there's going to be days where they're going to eat it up. Where the singing's going to be good, the testimonies are going to be good, and the preaching's going to be really easy." And I found that advice that was given to me on my ordination day to be true. I found it to be true. I used to think if we all wasn't up jumping beaches that we just will go, what was it? Tunis Aldridge told the church that time they were in revival. Now this really happened. They were in revival. And they had given him the authority to call the evangelists. I'm just telling what he told. And he prayed and he got a man on his heart. And he called that man to come help them in their revival. 1st night of revival, there was tension in the congregation. And he found out, little bird told him, that the majority of the church wasn't real thrilled about who he got to come help in revival. He compared it to the congregation looking like sick chickens. Those of you that's been around chicken houses know. Instead of getting up behind the book board and trying to smooth it all over, he got up there. He said, "Y'all gave me the authority to call an evangelist. And I prayed to God. And this is who God laid on our hearts." See, back in those days, people were a little more honest than we are now. This is who God laid on our heart. And this is who's going to help us in our revival. But he said, if y'all are going to be down and out about this, and it's going to cause contention and trouble, we'll just pack it up and go to the house. Bless his heart. After a little bit, tears began to fall. People started hugging one another, asking one another for forgiveness. See, it wasn't just the tension over the man he had called to help in revival. That was just an excuse. There was tension in the church. And it had been tension for a while. And the pastor knew it. They begin to hug one another and cry family members that wasn't talking to each other. You know, sometimes you got a church full of family members, and if not things ain't going no good to the family, they'll drag that up to the house of God.
Yeah, happy more.
Folks begin to hug one another. They begin to say, I'm sorry, I love you. Long story short, they have revived. They have revived. I think Brother Tuna said after that first service, he told the evangelist, he said, I'm sorry I had to say that in front of you and in front of the whole church, but this is where we were. And it needed fixed. And it got fixed. He said, we had the best week of revival that we've had in a long time. So you see, regardless, God's still in control of everything. No wonder so many, and I'm speaking for myself, no wonder so many church members and pastors a lot of times get discouraged. And the first little problem that comes up, they want to go to the house. I know several preachers, powerful men of God, that got discouraged and hung it up. People that had influence on me got discouraged. The devil would love nothing better than to discourage each and every one of us to the point to where we lost our interest in the house of God. But I'm going to tell you something, John. The house of God is my strength today. I'm over here today because I love the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, I'm a little hoggish too. And I like to eat when I get over here. And I've ate today. And I've been filled. Let me read you what Paul said in what he closed out with. Not here where I read you, but I'm going to read you here what he said in 2 Timothy. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now see, when he was talking to the church at Philippi here, he wasn't to this point yet. Mm-mm. But what I'm reading to you, he was at death's door. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Aren't you glad today that you and I stand before a righteous judge? Amen. I've heard people say, when I die, I'll meet a righteous judge. I've already met him. I've already met him. Bless and I'm being judged daily. Being judged daily by him today. Amen. Paul had confidence that he stood before a righteous judge. I'm glad that I do today. I'm glad you do. If you got a need in your life today, I know this has been kind of a curious message, but if you've got a need in your life today, whatever this might be, why don't you ask God? Just turn it over to him. If things are not going real good in your life right now, and you've tried every way in your carnal mind to fix it, and it's still not any better, let me recommend Jesus to you today. Go to him. Go to him. He can pull you. He has the authority and the ability to pull you up out of trouble. He has the authority and the ability to give you grace when you're in trouble. He can do that. He can do that today. Come give us a sign. Everybody will stand.
Turn to number 596, if you would please, in your hymnal number 596. All night.
influence that you can be. See, there's some folks that this person can't reach, but this person can. And it's all because of who they know and who they come in contact with. It's all because of opportunities that God gives to each and every one of us to be a witness to somebody else. I know there's times we want it all to be over. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself. There's times we want it all to be over with. We just want to see Jesus at the altar. But you know, I found in my life that's kind of selfish. Paul said it was better for him to abide. It was better for them. It's better for the lost and dying world that Paul remain a little while longer. It's better for a lost and dying world for Liberty Hill Church to keep on going. It is. It's better for a lost and dying world for every Christian to stand firm on thus saying the Word of God. It's better for every lost person today for us to testify when God says testify.
Yeah.
It's better for every lost person today for us to brag on Jesus Christ. Sing one more verse. I know you're hungry. I am too.